I guess essentially we've already hit record. Should I hit record on Ustream? God damn it, Nick. Just make a decision. Hello, everybody. And welcome to another Grayscale Gorilla live show podcast thing, whatever we're calling this. We're still not quite sure what this is. This is episode 2. And thank you guys for stopping by. As always, the only thing I promise is that it's on, and I can't promise any good information because, as always, I'm just hitting record and seeing what comes out. So I apologize for that, first of all. Second of all, if you're just joining us on these Grayscale Gorilla talks, we used to do these every Wednesday. I guess we still do at 2 o'clock on Wednesdays and just kind of fire up the microphone and the live stream and or the Ustream, pardon me, and talk to everybody on the chat room here. And I think what we're going to do today is just do a general Q&A. It's kind of what this show has progressed from is just looking into this chat room, hanging out with a bunch of people that are interested in stuff and trying to have a discussion about making stuff, maybe a little bit about motion design, maybe a little bit about how to do what you like to do and get paid. So I guess episode 2 in whatever we're going to call this, let's call it Make Stuff and Get Paid. Let's get this thing started. So I'm hanging out in the chat room here, and you, like I said, you guys could do that as well. Wednesdays at 2 o'clock. So let's head on in here and see what the heck everyone's talking about. PJ is asking if I'm working on any personal projects at the moment, and I would say, PJ, that a lot of this is personal projects. I would say that the iPhone apps that we recently updated, Shake It Photo, is a personal project for me. It is an app that I made because I wanted my own app, and I wanted to learn how to do it and figure out this whole App Store thing a couple years back now, but that's kind of an ongoing personal project. I think most of my projects have become personal projects. I don't do too much with clients lately, unless they're my friends that need work. So yeah, I mean, I would say I've been doing a lot of personal projects. Haiti is asking if I'm in the bathroom, and I'm actually at 37 Signals in their recording booth area. They have a nice new office. They have graciously allowed me to kind of sit in the corner and work alongside of them. I just needed to get out of the house and find some real office space. So they graciously let me tag along here for the month or two. But I'm in their little recording booth, which is a nice little room here that is soundproofed, pretty much soundproof, so I could come in here and get loud and not bug all the employees, which is really nice. But that's where I am. Thanks for the question. Thank you. Timmy, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Good. PJ. PJ is asking if I find it hard to break into the app market since apps like Instagram are already there. That's a good question. I think that, PJ, first of all, Instagram's a free application, and it appeals to, I think, different people than something like Shake It Photo or Cross Process. I think that Instagram does its thing, which is it's more of a social network with a little bit of kind of processing on top of it. That's kind of how I view Instagram, or I don't use it, but from what I know about it, they're more of a social network. They're kind of like Twitter for photography, but they also have some nice kind of looks that go along with their app. And first of all, I'll say that just specifically about Instagram, that their looks are really tasteful. There's a lot of apps out there that try to do a bunch of different looks, and they kind of go overboard. And the looks themselves are pretty tasteful. That said, the whole idea that I guess I don't need another social network at this point. When things like Twitter already handle photos, Flickr, you know, Posterous, I guess they call it. I personally don't use Instagram for that reason. But to get to your question, which is how is it to get into an app market when there's already a big player in there? Well, I think that there's room for a lot of people. If you open up the photography section and look in the free, look in the top 100 free apps, you're going to see 99 more other applications that are very successful in the App Store along with Instagram. And then if you look over in the paid category, which since Instagram is a free app, if you look over in the paid category, you're going to see another 100 applications that are doing quite well in the App Store, and Instagram still exists. And I guess the answer really is that you can't worry about what everyone else is doing. And I try not to think about how my app stacks up against this app or doesn't have all the features this app does. I just made an app that I wanted to use, and really, really simple app that didn't have a lot of options and buttons and stuff in there. You just open the app, you take a photo, and it automatically saves, and I could put it back in my pocket as a replacement for my existing camera. So instead of opening my camera, taking a photo, and then processing it later down the road, I actually use my applications straight with the camera. So I know which one I'm going to open. I'm going to open it and I take a shot and I stuff the phone in my pocket and it processes while it's there. So that's just the way that our apps work, because that's the way I like the way I like that. That's because I want the apps to work that way. And we compete because other people feel the same way. And some people use our app along with Instagram. They take a photo with us, with Shake It Photo, and then they open up Instagram and they share it. And that's okay with us too. But in the long run, you just can't worry about competition too much, because you have no control over them. You have to worry about stuff you have control over. Thank you for the question. Off to a good start. Ian the Scot says, do I regard the apps as a revenue stream? And I would. I do. Absolutely. Banana Camera Company, which is the actual business that's the umbrella, let's call it. I hate that word. For the applications, we make money for sure. Now we have developers, we have deals with licensing and all this other stuff. So it's a real business. Absolutely. Let's see here. Phil Spy has a question. Phil Spy says, how do Jason Fried, David Hanemeyer Hansen, etc. effect inspire me over here? I'll say, Phil, I don't have too much contact with them over here. Directly. I would say that indirectly, kind of like how all of you do, those guys inspire the hell out of me. I'm lucky to be able to kind of work in this area with them. Jason in particular, and David actually, man, I'll say this. David's appearance on this weekend Startups is one of my favorite things to watch in the whole world. Better than Jurassic Park. If you're down and you're just feeling a little down in the dumps, take a break, go watch This Week in Startups with David and Jason, the other Jason. Just have them kind of go at it for an hour, and I am just so inspired after that thing. And also, you know, with Jason around, his speaking gigs and the books and everything else and the blog, I just really like the way that he thinks. I really like, he kind of has like a no bullshit thing going on that I really, really, really like. I just always appreciate that in a person. To answer the question, as always, you know, I kind of have no clue, and then I maybe try to answer the question at the end. I think it's great. I'm really lucky to be able to work with these guys. I'm just excited to be out of the house, and especially with a group of smart people. And in fact, as I ramble on, it's becoming more clear that when I used to talk about Digital Kitchen and my first days at Digital Kitchen, what those were was really me jumping into a situation where I was the worst one there. I got to Digital Kitchen, and everybody else was an awesome, awesome designer. And I was the guy that just could not hold a candle to the talent that I was surrounded by. And I will say that that was the best moment for me to learn, because I was surrounded by smart people that were willing to teach me, thank God. And also just being around people and seeing how they work kind of soaks in on you. With that said, I feel that there's something really nice about being in this environment with all these smart people and guys like Jason and David and Ryan, and to be able to work around these guys and Jamie. Oh my gosh, Jamie's here too, who's like one of my design heroes. So with that in mind, I think it's like a whole new way to work around a bunch of smart people and see how they work and feel very humbled. And I think when you combine being humbled by smart people and when you are also kind of down, a little bit almost down on yourself for not being as good as you thought you were, you really learn a lot in that situation. And I think that that's where I am now. And I think that's one of the reasons I kind of came and hung out over here, to kind of be the dumb guy in the corner and to watch all these smart people. So it's exciting right now. I'm glad I'm here. Let's see here. Let's see, what other questions do we have? Thanks for the question, guys. This is fantastic. And NJ is asking about if I could show you guys more of the workspace. I can't today, but maybe I'll do a tour later on down the road. That's not a bad idea. Let me see what I could do. Boom. Broop, broop, broop. My chat room's jumping around a little bit here, folks. Let me try to make sure we're pinned at the bottom. Really having issues. All right. Let's see here. Any new updates for the products coming soon? Yeah, we have a CityKit update that we're working on. I'm going to hit refresh on the chat room. We have an update for CityKit coming soon, which will have a couple extra rigs for building more organic looking cities, so not just on a grid. So you'll be able to set up a city on whatever grid you would like, and make it a little bit more natural that way. We also have some more lighting. I think there's more lighting presets in that too, so stay tuned for that. There'll be a free update for everybody that has CityKit for sure. Mars is here. Good to see you, buddy. Bella Peppa is asking about the new 5-second project. That will be this week or next, I hope. It'll either be at the end of this week or Monday next week, the new 5-second project. So stay tuned for that. I don't know what the theme is. Neil is always rocking that. Neil, any ideas, sir? Any ideas? Or actually, Neil probably know the exact day since he's here. Let's see what he's up to. All right. Whales for Life is asking about freelance. I never really did too much freelance, Whales. I don't think I can answer that one. Let's see here. Yeah. Frog view. Yeah, let's just do frog view, Neil. Whenever you want, set it up. You guys get a little sneak peek on what the next 5-second project is. All right. What was my first position in the industry? JG is asking. And I think that, let's see, my first position, I actually did a little bit of freelance while I was in school around town, some boards, some animation. So I would say I was like a freelancer first. And then my first job out of school was at a post house called Avenue Edit. And where I worked in Avenue Edit was called Somersault. And that was my first place. I was there for about 8 months before I went to Digital Kitchen. All right. Eric's asking if I'm doing the paleo diet. You know what? Why not? Let's talk about what I'm eating all day. I'm already inspired by Dan Benjamin. Dan Benjamin and his whole thing. So why not talk about paleo for a moment? If you guys don't know, paleo diet is essentially I'll screw this up, I'm sure, but it's essentially eat. It comes from the notion that, you know, wheat and sugar and these types of things are kind of a new thing in the last maybe 100, 200 years. What we should really be eating is kind of what a normal human just can eat on the earth and what the normal human can find and kill and pick him or herself as kind of a caveman kind of thing. That some people call it like the caveman diet. And I would say I'm kind of doing a version of that, but I'm drinking a lot of beer, which screws up the whole paleo thing because beer is essentially like bread, you know, and sugar, a lot of sugar and alcohol too, any alcohols. But as far as breads, yeah, I moved away from some breads, mostly meat, eggs, a little bit of nuts, some veggies. And that's about it. So far, so good. I actually feel really, really good, if you guys are wondering. Thanks for asking. Man, what a crazy show so far. Let's do another question. Mike, you came at such a great show. This is just all over the place. Mike, oh, it's so good. You really don't miss bread after you just get it the hell out of there. Let's see. We got another question. Any good suggestions on digital SLR cameras? Yes, I kind of have a similar stance on digital SLR cameras as I do with computers right now, which is depending on your budget, figure out how much money you could spend, and then whatever you're going to buy, go find a good name brand in that thing that you're buying and then buy it at that price, I would say. Right? What I want to do is be as time and price agnostic as possible, because the real answer to what camera should I buy is like will change next month when there's 20 more cameras to freaking buy. So what I would say is that anything from Canon and Nikon are great. And the only thing I would recommend is to spend less money on your camera body and instead put all your money in glass. Put all your money in the lenses that will continue to last, and spend the least amount of money on the body. Now, don't get the cheapest one, but don't get the most expensive one. Get one in the middle and put most of your money in the glass. Yeah, I'd say that would be it. Let's see here. Oh, boy. Do I have an iPhone tripod? I do not have an iPhone tripod. This is the episode where I'm not going to say Already screwed that up. Already screwed that up. What glass do I use? My most used lenses are a 50mm 1.4 and my 85mm 1.4. So what you may hear are silence. I already did it. But what you may hear in this episode are a lot of silent pieces of silence. And what those are me usually swallowing back an and not saying and instead just being comfortable with silence. So this is an experiment in not saying I don't think I'll ever totally get rid of it, but we're going to see what we could do. Already, well, there you go. that didn't take long. Jeez, it's all over the place. Dano says, can I arrange a talk with Merlin Mann? The two of you would really fit a podcast of madness. By the way, nice Shake It photo. Dan, thank you for the Shake It photo shout out. Second of all, Merlin Mann, goddamn, that guy is, first of all, real smart dude. Second of all, go, if you have limited time as far as listening to people talk about shit, stop listening to me and go start listening to Merlin Mann. And his excellent, excellent podcast called Back to Work with Dan Benjamin on the 5x5 Network. Hello. So go definitely check that out. But the last thing I'll say about Dan and Merlin, actually, what I really want to talk about is Merlin. What I'll say about Merlin is I had this idea maybe 6 months ago to start some sort of podcast thing where I interview real smart dudes and kind of talk to them about the philosophy of their business and not, you know, how they got into their job or not all the normal stupid questions about, you know, what software do you use or what hardware do you use or what inspires you, whatever crap. What I really wanted to do was sit down with smart dudes and say, what's your philosophy? How do you make decisions? When a decision comes to you, how do you make a decision and stick with it? What's the philosophy behind that? And I think that you'll find is a lot of smart people that have successful kind of things going on will have a philosophy of how they make a decision when a decision needs to be made. And it's not just what they think is better for them or what they think is better in the long run. It's not a generic kind of decision like what I thought was best. It's usually based on a set of principles that is kind of a philosophy. And what I really love about the Back to Work show with Merlin is that he really breaks that down in such a way where he talks about the philosophy of making shit. Now, it's not interviews. It's not a bunch of different people. But if you go and listen to that show, you'll find a really smart guy that's thought really long time about how things get done and how decisions get made and how stuff is made. And it's something that I'm really interested in lately is hugely, hugely inspiring when I hear it from him. And he'll hate that I use the word inspiring. But what I mean by inspiring is there's so much to be said about that, and I'm glad there's a guy that's starting to talk about it in a really smart way and not just in a shallow way. I think that me included, I think me especially, I mean, I'm really down on myself because after listening to such a smart guy like Merlin talk all day, I really realize how kind of dumb and shallow the shit I say is. Like, hey, everybody go make stuff. Just start making stuff. It's real easy. Shut up. You know, stop watching me and just start making that project, right? And it's not that easy. And he really breaks it down in a way that I've been really, really liking so far. He makes me hate myself, and I love him for that. Love him for that. Good. HOB is off to watch Back to Work. If anybody else is leaving to go watch that show, please let me know. I would love to know that I'm helping. All right, let's go do a question. Let's go do this question. Moving too fast. I need a pause button. Yep, bathroom jokes already been made. Wow, I cannot read any of this. Okay, here we go. Seriously, I cannot watch this. This is unusable. Ustream, this is unusable. Oh, I'm so done with you. Jesus Christ. Okay. Freelancing. Yep. Yeah, this is not working. Not working, folks. Just hitting refresh. Where do I see Grayscale Gorilla in a few years? Thanks for the question, IKLSR. Let's talk about me more. That's great. Grayscale Gorilla, and I think we'll just continue to be a blog about shit that I'm into. It's in a very heavy Cinema 4D thing right now, and that's because I'm heavily in a Cinema 4D right now. It's turning maybe into this podcast. Think about how to actually make stuff. Kind of like that Creative Gap presentation I gave recently. It's becoming more and more of that because I like that stuff. And maybe it's a little bit about iPhone app stuff. Every once in a while, I'll talk about that. Because I'm into that. And I think that Grayscale Gorilla, you know, I've had a lot of thoughts about maybe turning it into Cinema 4D heaven and whatever, because that's what it seems to be right now. And I'm okay. It's fine with me because I like Cinema 4D. But I think that overall, Grayscale Gorilla is going to be a site about stuff that I'm into. And if you like me, then I think you'll continue to like Grayscale Gorilla. If you just want to find out more tips and tricks about Cinema 4D, that will be there. But I'm afraid it won't only be that. I'm afraid it won't only be Cinema 4D because, you see, I do more than just Cinema 4D as well. And I like talking about it. And I like showing off some of the other stuff that I do. So I think that the future of Grayscale Gorilla is making it more organized. Is making it more clear that it's making it more clear so that you can watch whatever the heck you want. So, for example, if you only care about the cinema stuff, that's fine. I'm totally happy with that. I'll have more tutorials. Chris will have more tutorials. Hopefully, I'll sucker Mike into doing another one soon. And there will be the Cinema 4D section. And if you want to watch me wave my hands around or listen to me do this dumb podcast thing, it, you know, maybe if I figure this out, you know, if I become any good at doing it, then there'll be maybe a little tab for the podcast stuff. And in fact, you may have seen a couple weeks ago on Twitter, I was like, you know, should I combine my site or should I try to separate it out into multiple things? And I think that moving forward, the answer is Grayscale Gorilla is going to be me. It's all the stuff I'm doing. If you're interested in stuff I'm doing, come on over to Grayscale Gorilla and I'll show you what the heck I've been up to. I think that's the short of it. Hopefully there's enough stuff in there kind of scattered throughout that's useful to people and that people like reading and watching and whatever. I would say that it's that. I would say that it's that. Let's see here. Get another question. Would I transfer a file to a client that has contacted you to do the work but now wants to do it himself? How would you handle it? I maybe charge him for it. If he wants to finish it, just have him pay you and then he could do whatever he wants with it. I think that's where a contract comes into play. If you have a contract and you did the work, then and in that contract is the project files, then yeah, go ahead. But if the contract did not specify that you're giving away your project files, I would say that you should charge them for the project files. That's a weird, tough situation. Most contracts do not include project files. Most contracts just include the final delivery. Some people write that in. Dave said that the secretary where he works said it looked like Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters. if you guys are just listening to the audio, I have my little Ustream thing going here, and people can watch me wave my hands around. That is funny. Okay. Let's see if we get another question. What headphones do I use? Fantastic. This is all over the place. I love this show. These are the Sennheiser HD 280 Pros. And, old Nick, let me tell you what old Nick would have done. old Nick would have obsessed over headphones to buy, and I've done this. Actually, the last pair of headphones I bought before this were the Grotto 125s, and that was after a whole hell a lot of research, and I loved the hell out of those headphones. In fact, if you're looking at just a pair of headphones and you're not surrounded by a bunch of people, if you can work and you can make a little bit of noise, get the Grottos. They're incredible. But when it came to coming to work here in maybe more of a quiet office where I couldn't have my headphones loud at all, I needed to get closed air headphones. Now, the Grottos are open air headphones, which I personally think sound better. But the open-air headphones have better bass response, is more open sounding in general, and the Grottos have this really interesting feel to them that maybe takes a little bit to get used to, but I prefer way over closed-ear headphones. Now, these are closed-ear, which means there's not a lot of sound coming out of the headphones. It's all directed into my ear, which means I could work nearby other people and they can't hear my headphones, which is why I got them. But I don't think they sound as good as open headphones. That said, old Nick researched the hell out of his Grottos and got them and loved them. New Nick said, I need a pair of closed ear headphones, and I just happened to come across a blog post by Marco at marco.org about his headphone situation, and he said, if you want closed ear headphones, I did the research, you should buy these. And they were these. They were the Sennheiser 280 Pros. I got them. And I've been finding myself doing that more and more, trusting people that I trust, finding people that I trust, and buying stuff that they've done the research for. Like, I know that he sat around and tried, and he even had recordings of how loud the earphones were. So he would say, here are the Grottos. He basically stuck a microphone like right here and said, this is how loud Grottos are when you're standing next to them. These are how loud the Sennheisers are, and he'll show you the waveform. Like, this guy did research. And so I trust his ear. I trust his research. And instead of spending a day researching headphones, I just bought them. And I don't know how I feel about that, because I like the research. I like the geeky stuff. I liked, you asked me what camera to buy 2 years ago. I would have had an hour-long conversation with you about, this camera in this situation and this camera in this situation. If you're just getting into it, try this camera. If you really, really like being a photographer, you should try this camera. And more I realized that either you get old or you run out of time. Basically, I think it's just a time issue. When you're younger, you have more time. You can kind of dick around and learn that stuff. And I think that now it's more efficient and maybe even more fun at this point to trust other people and know that this guy made a decision worth listening to. And I've been trying to do that more and more and more. Where else did I do that? my car got broken into. And they took my GPS, those jerks, my brand new car. Busted up a window, Chicago, classic Chicago style. I mean, this has happened 4 times to me, but only once in my new car. Smashed the side window and took my GPS. So when it came to what GPS should I buy to replace this, you know what? I went in and I bought the $100 one from Garmin. And, it was a price point. It made sense to me. And that was it. I didn't think there'd be a good one, a bad one. For $10 more, I get this feature, whatever. I went in and got the $100 GPS. And I find myself doing that more and more. Now, where does that come from? I don't know. I think it's a mixture of having less time. And also, maybe it's even part that this situation where other smart people you're in contact with and you could see stuff that they buy. You're on Twitter and you can ask a question like, hey guys, what should I buy here? What should I do? And you can get a response in 10 minutes from people that are pretty dang smart. I remember about a month or two ago, I asked if there was a way to download YouTube videos off of YouTube so I could put one in this presentation that I did. And I must have gotten 20 different answers by 50 or 60 different people. And one answer came up the most, and that's the one I chose and it downloaded, and it worked great. And it took 10 minutes instead of an hour of research. You know what I mean? Wales says, don't leave valuables in my car. Yeah, that was not a good idea. I appreciate it. Yeah, all right. This is interesting. This shows all over the place. Eric. Good. I thought I saw something from Eric. Mike, Monkey, what do you think, buddy? Rambling on, useful information. Why the hell are you listening? You're not even listening anymore. What do you think? You know, Oh, and Burnt's here. Burnt from Maxon is in the chat room. Good to see you, buddy. That's insane. That's great. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it. And he's answering questions in the chat room. That's so cool. Thank you. Right. Hi, Bernd. That's so cool. Germany's here. All right, let's get another question. Yeah, I saw a good one. Hello, I'm Flo says, hey, Nick, I just got back from a freelance gig working at a cool place. I'm about to work 4 more days in this place. I want to work with them more. What should I do except being good? Flo, you know, if there's really not much you could do other than be a great freelancer and be at the top of their list when they're looking for another freelancer. Unless they're looking for a full-time employee, you know, at least the places I worked, especially like Digital Kitchen, you know, we only hired freelancers when we needed freelancers. We didn't have freelancers there all the time. Now, that may be a place where they have maybe a group of permanent freelancers, permalancer kind of types. And if that's the case, there's really not much else you could do other than just being good. Like you said, which was at the bottom, you know, of your question. But other than being good and you know, hanging out and being a cool guy to work around, that's really the only thing you can do. You know, just let them know if they have another job that you know what? The only thing I would say is just let them know that you had a good time working too. And other than that, the rest kind of figures itself out. What you don't want to spam or bug people or over annoy people to get a job. But I think that you already got it, man. Do some good work and that's it. Yeah, permanent freelancers. I know they do exist. Did I ever take notes and questions asked in the chat? Nope. What Mac configuration do I use and what do I recommend for Cinema 4D usage? Laptop plus external monitor. You know what? It's not every day I talk about hardware, but let's go ahead and do this. I'm in a situation now where I'm looking at a hardware, and that's mostly because I'm in more of a portable situation. You can see right now I'm on a laptop, and I'm in the little recording room. And when I'm done here, what I'm going to do is take this laptop, walk over into over to my desk, and then plug my laptop into the 27-inch Apple display I have over there, and it's even got like a power cable for the laptop. So I walk over there, I plug it in, and then I essentially have what I just recorded all set to go over on my main machine, and I'm working. And that is what I want. And unfortunately, I can't do that with my current setup, which is a Mac Pro at home. I have my Mac Pro 12-core, which is incredible for 3D work, but it's hard to carry around and very heavy. So I am looking into some sort of portable solution, maybe a MacBook Pro 15-inch with the new quad cores, and just to get a little bit more oomph. Right now I'm on a 2-year-old Mac Pro Core 2 Duo, and it's okay for its age, I must say. But as far as doing tutorials and 3D renders and stuff, it's just a little bit behind where I need it to be. So what I'm turning into is this. I'm actually logging into my, for heavy 3D work, I'm actually logging into my machine at home. I'm actually logging into the 12-core and trying to do all my 3D kind of through screen sharing, which is kind of like a VNC kind of solution. So I'm sitting at work through my laptop, kind of dialing home into my 12 core at home and doing heavy duty renders. In fact, that's how I made those desktop renders. If you've been to the site in the last week, you may have seen I put up desktop renders for your desktop. You can download them and put them up on your screen, and those were actually done through the 12 core while I was at work on an old MacBook, which was great because those took forever to render. Even on my 12 core, that largest one took about 40 minutes to render at that screen size, at 3,000 by 2,000, whatever it was. So that is my current setup, is portable laptop at work here that I could travel between my desk and the recording studio where I am now, and then keeping the big heavy hitter at home to do the heavy duty cinema stuff. In fact, if I'm just modeling or making stuff, I could do that on my local drive. But then as soon as I want to get into lighting and texturing and rendering and all the heavy duty stuff, I could actually just send it home through Dropbox, open it up, log into my 12 core at home, open it up and work on it through the VNC that way. So that's kind of a little snapshot of what my hardware and software situation is. In general, I would say, especially when it comes to 3D rendering, I mean, that you're talking about, other than like sequencing the human genome, you're talking about the most powerful thing you could do on a computer. Now, it's not all the time that you need all this power, but when you need the power, you need the power. And 3D rendering is one of those things that you need. Total side note, if you look around 37 here where everyone's working, most of them have a laptop, you know, and not too powerful. Like my buddy Trevor that just got a job here opted for the 11-inch Air. He's coding and programming and doing all of his work on an 11-inch MacBook Air, and which has less computer power than this two-year-old MacBook. And if you think about that, most people don't need the power. And you have to really remember that in 3D, in video, in what you guys are into, if you are into that, you need as much power as you can. You need as much power as you can. So get the most powerful one you can. That's a long, long-winded answer, wasn't it? All right. Let's see what we got here. We got a few more minutes left. Trying to read another question. Is there a Grayscale Gorilla party at the Off Festival? Now that would be interesting. James, we should figure something out. I think we should have a little meetup or do something. What do you say, buddy? That would be fun. That would be fun. Bella Peppa is asking me about stereo. Not a big fan of stereo. Kind of hoping it'll be a fad, but I said that about HD too, and that stuck around. Good. What's a typical workday look like for me? Man, that's all over the place. My typical workday is usually answering emails for the products, you know, the light kit and city kit and stuff like that. If people have any questions, one of the first things I try to do is answer any questions from people that bought the products. The next thing is to think about the website and what the plan is. I'm not usually planned out too far ahead on the website. Like that desktop idea was just a thing that I was playing with, and I said that would look cool as a desktop, and I made it my desktop, and then I said maybe other people want to see this desktop, and I put it out there. The short answer is I have no idea. I have no idea what I do all day. I guess at most things. And if I find it interesting, I try to put it up online and share it with you guys, and maybe you guys will find it interesting. And that's actually the way I'm thinking more and more about the site is and Grayscale Gorilla in general is, you know, it's a bunch of stuff that I find interesting, and maybe you guys will find interesting too. So I think that'll be that's the main part moving forward. All right. iPhone apps, are they developed by me or a collaboration? I actually have a developer that I work with on all the iPhone apps. And I actually, we have some other apps too. And we have other developers in progress kind of working with that. I gave it a shot and realized that I am not cut out to be a programmer. When I miss a comma and it all breaks, man, that just pisses me off. So I found some guys that were smart at what they did, and I did what I was good at doing, which was coming up with the app and the websites and stuff, and I surround myself with as smart of people as I can find. And they do all the coding work, and I do some of the other stuff. Let's see here. First time singing. Question. You said at some point in your life you wanted to be a magician. Why did you choose to move on from that and do other stuff? I'm a magician. By the way, check out my site. I think as far as magician goes, I think it's just a thing you grow out of a little bit. I think personally that was my thing too. Although I was pretty old. I mean, 16, 17 years old, magician. You know what it is? I used to think it was an age thing. You know, the fact that I was into this and then I was into music and then I was into all this stuff. It was like an age thing. But I don't think that's quite true. I think I even said this last week, but it's knowing that it's being of the age of getting a job and getting that job or going to school is that kind of what chooses your career, at least in my career. I don't speak for everybody, but for me, I feel like perpetually I'll just be into something else every 5 years. And that's just been the way it's been. And I thought that one day maybe it'll kind of settle itself down. But that doesn't seem to be the case. You know, between magician stuff, I sold yo-yos and did yo-yo competitions for 2-3 years. I worked in music for 4 years. I worked as a DJ for 6 years. I worked, as a barista. As a freelancer and as a full-time employee and then running my own businesses. And these things have spanned my work career since I was 15 years old. And I think that personally it's just going to change every few years. I'm going to be into something else. And it comes from, I got to figure out who said this. But essentially, when you really get excited about doing stuff, it's usually the cross-section of something that you are really interested in, but you're not quite good at it. You're not quite as good at it as you should be. And when you really get into a flow situation, when you really get lost in your work, it's not when you absolutely know exactly what you're doing, because then you get bored, right? You get bored when you really know what you're doing and you're asked to do it. That's boring. But when you really know what you're doing and you're asked to do something a little bit better than what you're used to, that's where the fun is. That's where the excitement is in a learning situation and having fun with what you do. So with that said, I think that what it is I get really interested in stuff and obsess over it and play with it and try it and practice it and play with it. And after a few years, that curve slows down. That curve between getting way, way better than you are right now, it slows down. So in other words, let's just pick a music instrument because that's a good analogy anyway. But the first month of learning piano or drums or guitar, you're going to be hundreds of times better, millions of times better than when you started, when you knew nothing, when you literally knew nothing. You're moving forward, and in a week later, you know practically a million times more than you did that first week, right? Because you went from zero to one. Now, in the week after that or the month after that, you're going to go from zero to two, and you're going to be a level two guitarist. And at that level, at a level two guitarist, you're gonna be twice as good as you were the week before, the month before. Now you go, it takes you another month to go to a level 3, but now you've only gone up 50%, right? You see where I'm going with this? And when you're a level 7 guitarist, to get to a level 8 guitarist takes a lot of work, but you're only progressing 10% of your overall skill level. And when that starts happening, it becomes less fun to learn, I think. And that's where there's a big difference between, let's say, a scratch golfer, like a golfer that could shoot par, and a golfer that could shoot negative 10 consistently. It's only 10 strokes, but it's way easier for, let's say, me to go from where I shoot, which is like, let's say, 100, 110, for me to go from 100 to 90 is a lot easier than somebody going from 70 to 60. You see what I'm saying? And this trend happens over and over again in almost anything. I think that's actually why you feel like time goes faster as you get older, because when you're 1 year old, you've only experienced a year. Well, let's say when you're 5 years old, you've only experienced 5 years. And for you to move from 5 to 6 years is a 20% leap in your lifespan. Right? And that's huge. That's a huge number. Compared to 5 years, 1 year is a long time. But when you've lived 30 years and you're moving forward a year, the ratio is actually much smaller. See that? See what goes on there. And that that ratio is what kind of I think makes getting better at something more and more boring and less exciting. I don't know if any of that made sense, but there's something there. There's something there where I need to like have an ice cream and sit and think about that. Yeah. Yeah. The did not go away, did it? The did not go away. Yeah. That's why there are so many half-written novels. You know what? Let me say one more thing and then, we'll go on. I just finished a book. I have no clue what it's called. It's called Doing Your Job, or it's Domino Project. Let me ask the smart chat room. Do you guys know the latest Domino Project book with Seth Godin? It was free like a week ago. It's not getting things done. It's called Work It Up. Something stupid. It was great. I said stupid. I meant really, really good. So I can look for, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Great insight, Nick. Great insight. I will figure that out, and we'll talk about that next week because it's a really short book. Don't know if it's free anymore, but I think it's only like $6. Highly, highly, highly recommended. I'll stop talking about it now because I don't even know what it is. Maybe it'll be in the show notes. Okay, well, thank you guys again for stopping by, listening to me kind of talk about nothing. I'll be here again hopefully next week and most Wednesdays at 2 o'clock on grayscalegorilla.com/live. Thank you guys for taking time out of your day to come hang out and ask me some questions. Again, I have no clue what this will turn into, but hopefully it'll be more focused as we go on. But knowing me, it probably won't be. Thanks again, guys. I'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.